again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. We'll be here for the next hour to take your phone calls, comments, and Twitter questions regarding the football Giants as they prepare for Sunday's game at MetLife Stadium against the Baltimore Ravens. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross at Howard Cross 87.
That's me.
I'm at Giants WFAN, and you could also hit us up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513 is our phone number if you'd like to give us a call. Now, Howard, one of the big topics of conversation is the Giants are currently out on the practice field. And we have seen this injury list, folks, continue to grow now over the course of the last couple of weeks. Is how the Giants are going to put this MASH unit together as they face a very physical Baltimore Ravens team that itself is rather angry, having lost two games in a row.
I think, you know, the injury thing is a little overcooked. I think the next man up is a term we always hear guys use. It's a real thing. You know, I'm the elephant in the room or the fly in the ointment, or so to speak, because I played almost my entire career. I only missed one game, and it wasn't because I wasn't injured. It was just a different world. Today's world, guys get injured, they're out. My view was, I only have so long to play, so let me get as many games in as I can. It changes, and if I probably would have benefited financially more if I'd have used their theory, but I just didn't. Mm-hmm.
In any event, there are some, though, we do have to discuss, because concussion protocol is a serious thing, and Burhe and Donnell are still in concussion protocol, although Larry was out there yesterday in a non-contact capacity, and Devon Kennard is now under the concussion watch. Coach was saying he was hoping he might be able to at least walk around out on the field today. But those things, you don't have much choice. I mean, they've got the concussion protocol with the league, and your hands are tied.
I'm not a big concussion advocate, so you have to forgive me. I know there's a lot of rules and laws and everything, so I don't pertain to the concussion thing. We should get dinged a lot. I think about falling out of trees as a kid. I probably got dinged more than the natural child. So we kind of went through that. Nowadays, with all the movies and all the hype and all the lawsuits, we'll say the lawsuits, I think if something happens, you err on the side of safety rather than anything else. I don't really have a lot about the
Okay. Let me ask you one other question, and we talked about this a little bit on the show yesterday with David Deal. Again, we really didn't know much yesterday as Cody Sensabaugh, the veteran cornerback who had played a little bit with the Titans and also with the Rams earlier this year, had been signed by the Giants on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Coach McAdoo said yesterday he can play in, he can play out. We're just going to try to coach him up and see what he can do. The Giants' secondary is depleted. Apple's hurting. Darian Thompson still with the boot on his foot. Mm-hmm. We know DRC is hurting, and we talked about that on the postgame show the other day.
Valiant effort okay. By DRC, playing old school football.
And so Sensabaugh is going to try to come in here in a few days. How much can he learn? How much can he help?
I know people think of that, how much can you learn when it comes down to it. If you're standing, the further you get away from the ball, the least complicated your job gets. And I don't think people realize that.
Okay.
Once you play corner and you start to move outside, and if he's playing the slot guy, he's closer to the ball, and you have to do a lot more interaction with the safeties, interaction with the linebackers. You have to know a lot more. But when you get all the way out to the edge, you're either in man-to-man, two deep, three deep, cover, you know, and if you're in cover one, you're in man-to-man. If you're in cover four, you got a zone. If you're in combination, you got a combination. There are not that many things to learn when you get out there. It's just, hey, keep that guy in front of me. I got him man-to-man across the field. This is my zone from hash to the sideline, or from numbers to the sideline. There's just not a lot to learn in that aspect. You may need to learn the terminology.
Right.
You know, terminology may help you, but if it was me trying to tell you, do fire, fire, blah, 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 I'd be like, no, forget that. You're in zone, cover one, don't go. You're in cover three, be careful. Like, you know, I got your help over the top. I would just scream it out. It would just, that would be what I would do if I had to help somebody who was coming in, but he was out there and he only has two or three jobs.
So you would expect him to give the Giants some snaps on Sunday?
I would expect him to give more than some snaps on Sunday. I think that if he's an addict, now, here's the thing that we have to, like, put into context. He's a journeyman. If he was a top corner, he'd be employed somewhere permanently.
Okay.
So he's kind of on the move, trying to find a spot. I expect you to see a guy that comes in the game that's going to give you everything he has. I don't have enough info on his career to let you know what that is.
Before we get to the phone calls, we touched on DRC a moment ago when I mentioned his injury. Howard, I don't think it can be overstated. We saw what he was going through, series after series, play after play. You know, this is a guy who's had a rep in his career of maybe getting a little bit dinged and coming out and checking out for some games, checking out for some plays. He was a true beast the other night, trying to give everything and then some. He did not want to come out, and every time he did, they'd wrap him up and he'd go back in.
Well, we reported on the sideline with the Giants radio broadcast that DRC was out and he would not be returning to the game. The moment I reported that, I turned around and looked, and he was laying on the ground trying to get stretched out. I'm like, guys, he's coming back in the game. They're like, you just reported him out. The medical staff just reported him out. I'm like, he's coming back in the game. Then I saw them taping him up. I'm like, he's going back in the game. And he got up, and he went right back into the game. The thing that, you know, if it is a groin, which I think that's what it was, it is hard to raise your leg, but it's even harder to stop. Mm-hmm. So it was, because you would see him hobbling across the field.
Oh, yeah.
Once he took off, he could take off. But he, you know, stopping, I'm like, if it would have been me, if I was Aaron Rodgers, I'd been throwing at him. Like, okay, make him move. You know, make him change direction. But they didn't really do that because at that point, our defensive line picked up the pass rush. They weren't sacking him, but they were getting Rodgers off his spot.
Impressive performance, though, by DRC, no question. All right, let's get to your phone calls. Line 4, Kenny from New Jersey, you're first up on the show. Hello.
Hey, fellas, how's it going today?
Hi.
Very good.
Good to get a hold of you guys. I've been trying to get in for a couple of days now, but we had a lot of angry Giants fans.
I think the
key to winning this week is Rashad Jennings. If he doesn't play, I think it's going to be a tough game. If he does play, I think we win by 10. But that's just me. I will tell you, it's pretty discouraging for us as fans, and I think this is what's so aggravating, is we haven't seen all three phases of the game play at any kind of, you know, decent level altogether. It's always either the offense is playing bad or the defense is playing good, or the defense is playing good, the offense is playing bad, or if the defense and the offense are playing good, we'll have a muff punt or a blocked field goal or something like that.
You're forgetting special teams.
You know, he just said that.
I didn't catch it.
Okay.
I understand that, you know, it's hard when you have a new coach and everything like that. And I really think with Eli, everybody wants to hang him up and everything like that. But I think we're not giving enough credit to the fact that he has had Tom Coughlin in his ear for the past 13 years, and he doesn't have him this time. I think that could be playing a role. Plus that big hit with the Washington Redskins I'm sure that didn't feel too good. Other than that, I mean, Eli's a pro's pro. He's gonna you know, pull out of this slump and put the team on his back. I believe we're gonna win this week, but as Giants fans, we want an exciting season at least. If we don't make the playoffs, we don't make the playoffs, but we need to be in the race. I mean, we do have the best quarterback in this division, and we need to show everybody that. I'm tired of the skeptics. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you so much.
A lot there. He talked about the running back situation. I think that, you know,
one at a time. Go ahead, Howard.
I think that the running back situation is what it is. I think the Darquois can be an effective runner. I don't think we run the ball, and I'm saying we as Giants, I don't think we run the ball with any, you know, not consistency, but like we're not as balanced as you think we would be with our attempts. That's one. As far as the Eli conversation and people being on him, hey, guys, Eli hasn't played all that well. He just hasn't. I mean, don't look around. Stop looking for all these other excuses and trying to find other players. Eli himself will tell you he needs to pick it up. So as he goes back and evaluates himself, and I'm sorry, one hit does not change your whole mentality of how you're playing. It just doesn't. That was just one hit. If it does, then you may want to look for a new job. So I don't want to be that. I don't want that to be the excuse. I think it's just that Eli needs to pick it up. I think he needs to go back. He'll watch some of the film of himself playing. He'll do some self-evaluation. I think, and if he still has that kind of motivation and kind of, you know, what made him a Super Bowl MVP those two or three years, you'll see it. That's all it is.
You know, the one thing that I think people need to understand, and this game is more so than any other of the major sports, a domino effect kind of game, Howard. When one thing isn't right, so many other things follow, and so many things are intertwined. It's a spider web kind of game.
Okay.
More so than basketball or hockey or baseball, where there can be more individuals who can be the focal point or the focus of a performance. But in this sport, everything's a spider web. Everything is a domino effect.
Yeah, but here's what I got on that. You know, speaking from a personal standpoint, not this is a player, this is not the Giants as old or
right.
whatever. As a personal standpoint, I played some good seasons. I won some Super Bowl, went to some Super Bowl, played in a lot of playoff years.
Sure.
And I played in some really bad years.
Mm-hmm.
So what I viewed as a player, and for me personally, is that when I got back to the room,
right,
and they did the grade of the film,
yep,
I wanted to hear 100% or 99% or whatever it was constantly. So that's kind of how I viewed it. I viewed the game differently than I didn't care what the fans thought. I got to play. I want to do my job. If I do my job, we have a better chance of winning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do my job, someone else's. I got to do my job. Now, doing my job, I may have blocked two guys in a play or did something else. I may have caught seven passes in a game. May not be heard from them for the next four games. But whatever my job was that day, I wanted to do my job. So I think that what happens from fans and what we're talking about, and because the pundits always want to talk, they miss the part of players doing their job. And when if you're the guy who touches the ball every time, you got to do your job. If you're the center, you got to do your job. If you're the guy who's standing all the way out on the edge and you're only out there to run down as a gunner, you have to do your job.
You're telling me it starts with the guy in the mirror.
It's each individual player doing their job at the highest level they can perform.
But
and taking pride in it.
At the same time, Howard, though, what happens is when the offensive line's not doing well, now the running game suffers, the quarterback suffers.
But we've seen teams.
You know what I mean?
We've seen teams with quarterbacks that play well. I watched for years Barry Sanders, who is an exceptional player.
Exceptional.
Run without an offensive line almost.
Exceptional.
So, like, it's, again, you know, we play with expectations and memories when we watch games. You've got to start watching what you have and then try to figure it out. You can't watch other teams and project their, you know, failures or their success onto your team. You have to watch the guys you got and see what happens. And, I mean, I understand the whole fandom thing because I get that way watching my son or watching Alabama. But, you know, I do. I'm crazy about it. You know, I'm projecting what I feel, what I think, but I keep it to myself a lot of times. But if you see me on Twitter, you probably see me go a little crazy.
I've seen
games.
You yelling at the TV before.
Yeah.
Tony from Hoboken, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey,
hi.
Guys.
How you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello,
yeah,
Tony.
I actually just wanted to touch base on discipline.
Okay.
Discipline. The Giants won the first two games. The Giants has definitely was won by the defense. First game that people just have amnesia or something. All of a sudden, people think the offense was doing good the first two games. Mm-hmm. They fumbled. They turned over the ball four times the first game. Thank
yep.
God for the defense that stopped Ezekiel Edge to under 40 yards. And Dez Bryant to 8 yards passing. Second game, they shut them down again. Offense turns over the ball three times. Third game, Odell Beckham, Norman, everything goes haywire. They you know, they cause personal fouls, all this stuff happens. Defense couldn't hold it. Offense has not been producing since day one. Offense hasn't been producing, not even in the preseason. Bobby Rainey, I thought Bobby Rainey was going to get cut. You have to put Perkins in there. Perkins is averaging 4.3 yards. He's only got the ball four times, but the four times he's done it, he's produced. And I'm sure you know, his first catch is an NFL record. Most reception yards for your first catch in the season, in his career, the first catch of his career. Now, he's averaging 28 yards a catch. So I'm tired of, like, people saying, oh, we need Jennings. Give the rookies a chance. We have Thomas that's on the bet that's hurt, and he's a rookie, and we're dying for him to come back. We have to play our rookies. Gerald Adams would have caught that ball that Ty dropped. I mean, I have to, you know, you keep saying that, you know, Ty, that's a catchable ball. Not really for Ty. If somebody's taller, they would have caught that ball.
Okay.
I just wanted to know what
Sony, I'll let Howard respond. I mean, thanks for calling. Get back to us again on another show. Go ahead, Howard.
As far as Perkins goes, I tell everybody the same thing. It's not his ability. I think it's the trust that they have in him protecting the quarterback.
Sure.
A lot of times in the games, the Eli, when he's standing there and he has to check with me, situations when you can check the plays. If he's checking to a run, they trust him. If he's checking to a pass and the kid may not know the protection, or if there's a lot of people moving
that's
around.
That's dangerous.
Well, you know, Eli's probably like, hey, man, you don't know who to get. Like, I mean, I don't want to get hit, you know, so that's part of it. Yes, he's explosive and exciting, and he's an incredible change of pace. And if given the opportunity, could be a good player, but they're going to have to – he's going to have to be – and I know this sounds strange being four or five games into the season or six games into the season. He's going to be well coached up. You got to be trustworthy. And when you play multiple fronts and multiple things every week, no matter what your calls are, but everybody else is dancing out there like ants over a sandwich on a picnic, you got to be prepared for that. And I think that's the one thing. As far as the tight end goes, you know, who would have caught it, who wouldn't have caught it, Eli got to make a better throw. You know, and I don't mean any harm, but
it was not a perfect throw.
You got to make a better
throw. It was a catchable ball, but not a great throw.
You got to make a better throw. Like, no pressure, no anything. Get the ball to your receiver. Let's move on from Ken, who's better and everything. I like the young tight end. I think he can make some plays. And again, just like Perkins, do you know all the plays? And a lot of people think that's an easy thing. It is not an easy thing. These playbooks are complex. They're huge. The plays themselves are complex. The verbiage is long. And after you get through all that, then you have to, you know, put it into action against other people, moving people, people to get paid, people who are standing on the outside, but they jump inside because they saw something. And you have to know all the rules and why it's happening. It's an interesting game. I think, you know, from a fan's perspective, because I deal with this a lot with my son. I always reference him.
Right.
Good athlete. Great kid, smart kid, you know, A, B student or all A's. I don't know what his report card is going to be like yet. Hopefully all A's. But when it comes down to the game and understanding the details of the game, he's enjoying playing. So, you know, and I think that happens a lot. And I hear a lot of comments in the stands watching just high school games. Like, they're enjoying playing. So how do you get those guys to focus? I don't know. Well, these guys are pros. They should focus. I'm like, okay. I'm like, they're still guys trying to get through a game. It's funny. It's funny, but for fans, we live, we die, we're passionate. 1 week to the next, for these guys, it's their job. And how they approach their job, I don't know all the time. When they're winning Super Bowls, we're like, oh, they're the greatest guys.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite play of all that you know, that I was involved in, I think people don't realize this. We ran a fake punt in the San Francisco game the year we went to Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
I was on the field to play before the fake punt.
Okay.
I didn't know we had a fake punt. Gary Reed just goes blowing by me. I'm like, man, we got to kick the ball. Oh, he's got the ball. I'm running behind him.
So you didn't know Reasons was taking off.
How's that supposed to know? I'm on the field. I didn't know. Does he come to the game and go like, hey, fake punt, fake punt? No. So I'm just standing out there.
No, this is a great insider story now. I want to go back to this a second.
But think about this, though. What I'm saying is, you play to the best of your ability. You play the cards that are dealt to you. When you go out there, I knew for a fact that if a guy was standing outside, then there would be a huge hole in there. That'd be a great time for a fake punt. But just like every other play, if it hadn't been a punt, I set, blocked that dude to the outside, and Gary blew up the field because that was my job.
Well.
Right? So I'm telling you that you have to have so many – your thoughts have to be totally on the game. So when things come up, even if you don't know about it, it works.
Actually, I can relate, I think, what your point is trying to make to that particular play, because Parcells had to have the trust in Gary Reasons to tell him, if you see this, you can go for the fake and you can make the call and take off with the ball. And that's about coaching trusting the players. Because if the coach does not trust the player implicitly,
then
he doesn't get to do that.
Yeah, but the call wasn't something so egregious that it was like, oh, Parcells right. Oh, Parcells. And it wasn't anything. It's like whatever it was, it was a touch of the leg or something. Whatever it was. I'd have to go back and ask Gary what the call was. But when that many people are screaming and yelling, you don't hear that many calls. We're going to punt a team. You're thinking, don't let them block it.
Back to the phone calls, 201-939-4513. Rod from Newark, you're next on the show. Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
Great.
Hey, Rob.
A long time, first time. I had two solutions, and I wanted to see what you guys say about it. First one, the O-line, I believe. First of all, I want to ask you, did y'all know Ereck Flowers is one of the most penalized players in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I
knew that.
And last year he was one of the most penalized offensive linemen in the league also.
Yeah, he throws guys to the ground a lot when he doesn't have to.
Yeah, throw guys to the ground. That brings my next point. I think he definitely needs to be put on the right side. He's a run blocker. He's definitely not a pass blocker. These guys are blowing right past him, and it takes him a while to open his fist up to catch the guy, and it's just a glaring problem on the O-line.
And so your solution is to call Jumbo Elliott.
No. Let me be fair to him. But even with that happening, did he miss his block when Eli underthrew that guy or overthrew him? No. The most of the game, there's a lot of time. If there's like 70 plays in a game or 60 plays in a game and he has three penalties, I think it's kind of like sacks. We kind of like give him more credit than they're due. He does need to get better. That is no doubt. Not because of the penalties or whatever. He just needs to get better. He needs to really, really work on his craft. He needs to really, really try to be that guy at left tackle. That's the premier spot in the league.
Yeah, exactly. And the Braves, and I think Eli's problem is everybody don't come to Eli, but I think Eli just scared, man. He's scared back there. And it shows he's jittery. He don't want to get hit no more. I don't know if the watcher get hit. I don't know if it's just he knows for a fact that he's coming from the left side. And I think he'll trust Beattie a little more than he'll trust Flowers. I know you're not a Beattie fan, but I think that right now they have to start opening up the options. My second thing I wanted to say is, what do you guys think? I think they need to bring in a fullback for the running game to start. Because if they put in a fullback, at least, they'll have to respect their run a little bit. You know, they'll probably have to bring the safeties down. They can open up the play action. You know, I think a fullback definitely has to be, because that's a big difference from last year and all the other years to this year, because they put a single back there. And it's like everybody knows that they're going to want to run a couple plays out. If they're going to pass it, they're going to run it. And if they're going to run it, they're going to want to clog the holes up. So I think they need to put a fullback into the lineup and see how that goes. What do you guys think about that,
Rod?
I think that the fullback thing is a done deal. I don't think that's going to happen. The reason why is that the offense isn't kind of geared towards the fullback. Mm-hmm. I think that H-back guy kind of floats in, floats out. To put an I-back or a two-back offense in, they'd be
like sprinkle them in sometimes.
But here's the thing: players are they're intelligent enough to know. I wish they would show more of the sideline when the game's going on. If you could see the sideline, if there was a camera on the sideline, you would see them holding up papers going, 12 personnel, one back, one back, two tight ends, 11 personnel, one back, three wide receivers, 21 personnel, two backs. And when they do that, they're doing that to alert the defense, the possibilities of plays. These guys, everybody's studying to get closer to understanding what's going on. A lot of teams carry fullbacks, and just as many of them carry them, there's another group that just don't carry them. But if you're a fullback, you have to be an excellent receiver. And you have to be excellent, they got to be able to split you out. You got to be able to get to the slot, or sometimes even move to the outside. And that's why they're playing more and more of these tight end / H-back characters, because they need those guys that are more athletic and not just a battering ram.
I think they need to try something different, because the offense right now is not moving. The defense knows, everybody at home knows the play they're going to call. It's just a real predictable offense. I think that's one of the big problems that's going on right now with the Giants. Everybody knows, even Stephen wanted to see these players coming sometime. And even I said at the game, I said to my friends, we all watching the game, here comes a draw, and it's the same plays. I think they need to sprinkle in different plays. They need to do something different.
All right.
I think it should start this week.
I appreciate the phone call. We'll get back
to you
on another show. Thank you.
Good.
Call again.
And I'll add to that, when he's saying something different. I don't think, when fans are watching games, they don't see the difference. They don't see the different formations and everything. The plays are run, but they're running different formations. They're doing everything trying to to mix it up and give you different views, different motions. Coach Peyton used to run like all motion shift.
A lot of it.
All the different things.
A lot of it.
It was still the same plays. He just had us running all over the field before the play was snapped.
I think, and don't quote me on this, but I think it's fairly accurate that there's only like a handful of teams, like five teams in the NFL, that actually employ a fullback as part of their regular offensive set. It's gone.
Like I said, if you're tight end / H-back guy is able to come out of the backfield and lead on a play, you know, a power play, when the guard pulls, he's able to get behind that guard, come up through that hole and lead, then all of a sudden the fullback job is diminished.
Right.
There are very few I-run plays. And even with the I-run play, the tight end is put in that position sometimes, especially a shorter back. If you got a big 6'3", 6'5" tight end running through the hole to block for you and the back's behind him, they don't usually see the back until he's, you know, beyond the tight end.
The shame of it is because of the way the game has evolved, like there would be no room for a Maurice Carthon.
No.
You know, today.
Maurice wasn't an outside.
And he was a heck of a player.
Great player, but he was not an outside receiver.
No, not at all.
No, so he wouldn't be able to get out to the – he wouldn't be able to be a slot guy.
Exactly.
You wouldn't be worried about that.
We do have our poll question on the Giants app. So if you're watching the show and you've hit your cell phone, you have answered our first question of the day, which was who will finish with the most receiving yards against the Ravens, Shepherd, Cruz, or Beckham? And right now, Shepherd and Cruz are tied at 46% apiece. I don't know how many more minutes we have on the poll, or has it been shut down? Shepherd and Beckham are tied at 46 apiece. Cruz with 8. Is it shut down now? It is shut down. So maybe they'll both wind up with 100 yards.
It'd be nice.
Mike
touchdowns
from,
each would be great.
Mike from Florida, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys. The other night, because of the storms, over on the East Coast, we joined a group that had guests from the East Coast, a lot of New England Patriots fans in there and others, and we got into some conversations, or at least I listened to some, about the Giants' philosophies. And Howard, you've played the game. They're saying that this concept of a commitment to a player is almost a slap in the face to the rest of the team, the fans, and the advertisers. And the one guy from New England said, look, Belichick moves guys around all the time. So does Green Bay. And he went on to recite that he said, there's no commitment to a player, except maybe a quarterback, other than the player's performance demanding that commitment. And so they said that, you know, this idea of the left tackle being committed to, if you will, probably doesn't give him the greatest incentive to really improve. So they felt that that was a wrong philosophy, that the Giants really owed it to the rest of the team to put the best group of players out there at any one time. And they were going back talking about the free agent period and all that sort of stuff, that there were players who probably at this stage of their career and Flowers' stage of their career were better left tackles than Flowers. And so that was one of the things. I mean, the other thing, there were three guys that played football, not at your level, Howard. I think one guy came from Ball State, but I'm not sure. And he said he thinks that the offensive line is not, quote, moving in unison. I kind of listened in on that, but somebody else was yelling about something else. A couple of guys just simply who had played football said they felt that the tackles, their body positions don't seem to be in the correct position every time. And they felt that Flowers had slow feet and that Hart did not get up fast enough from his position. So take it away, guys. I'm just relaying what a bunch of people said.
Listen in on the internet. We'll let Howard respond.
Bobby Hart's playing great. I don't know if people realize that. I think he's given up maybe one sack since he's been in there.
One.
Yeah. He's not even giving up any pressure. So the guys that are watching that, I'm sorry to explain, they're not watching him. As for his Flowers is a tall, and I mean a very tall kid. Him being knee bend and all that stuff they said about him in the draft, is what he's exposing now.
Well, they said he was raw, Howard, because he only played a year and a half in college, so he didn't have as much experience.
Okay, but that's part of it. As far as bringing players in from the offseason and being committed to Flowers, if there was a guy who was out there that was a real big-time left tackle and they thought he could come in and play, everybody has something. Like, I don't do the evaluation process of players. I don't think the Giants are truly committed to guys that are on the field if there's somebody in their ranks that can replace them. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. They look the sad part of football, or I guess it's the real – for fans, it's the real part. But for players, the sad part of football is once you're in a position, every time that you step on the field, there's a guy standing behind you trying to get to your spot.
Right.
And it's not even close. And Flowers, he's young, he's tall, he was fiery last year. But there are guys that are standing out there now that if they can do it, they're going to be in the game. Mm-hmm. And I don't think fans realize, like, they're no more committed to Flowers because all their jobs are connected. If Flowers doesn't play well, the rest of them get fired too. So it's just not the way it works. It's just right now he's the guy that's in the spot. And I totally understand that, but they're not that committed. There may have been some guys in the past that were on the team that were, like, you know, they may have been committed to, they weren't getting into games. But as for guys who are playing, no, that doesn't happen. Think about, you know, everybody's talking about right now what's going to happen in Dallas when Romo's able to come back. Right now, I'm telling you what they're doing. Hey, you know, I know you can throw the ball, but maybe we should get an MRI this week. And I'll let you know what happens. Then next week it'll be, oh, okay, well then, let me see. We'll do some tests now and see how it's going. And they're going to play that out as long as they can. Remember, Drew Bledsoe, borderline Hall of Fame quarterback, once he got hurt, never saw it again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're constantly looking to replace us, and anybody can be replaced.
All right, we'll get a couple of Twitter comments in here because I know some of you folks don't dial in. You want to be heard on the internet.
Because they're at work on their computer.
And the boss gets a little ticked off when they're on the phone. So we'll give those people a chance. I'll read off some of these items to you, Howard, and feel free to chime in. A.J. Marshall says, do you think the Giants should consider making a change with their offensive line? Well, we just discussed how the coaches are going to try to put the best guys out there at all times, and there's always someone out there trying to take your job. Mm-hmm. We have Ben Gruen says, when's the last time all three phases played well and the Giants had won handedly?
It would be the year that we beat Minnesota in that final game going into the Super Bowl versus the Razor.
All right. we're going to go with, let's see.
That's true, too.
Hey, even the Giants' wins have been rather dramatic and nail-biting in the last several years.
Let's put it like this.
It's been dramatic.
I think people have also discredited the idea that, and you know, hopefully they don't fire me for this, but the Giants have historically been over the last, I want to say, 10 years, maybe mm-hmm. or more.
Okay.
They've been an 8-8, 9-7 team, or just a little bit below 8-8. They just haven't been a 12-win team.
They haven't been dominant.
Yeah, so
they were dominant in the Parcells era when you were there.
Okay, but let's not go back to Parcells. When was the last time what was the last season the Giants won 11 or more games?
It's been a long time, Howard. I can't even think of it off the top of my head.
Okay, but the way that I'm listening.
Even when Coach Coughlin was here, they won 10.
Yeah, they didn't win 11. One time.
Yeah, they didn't win 11.
So my thing is, I think the fans believe that all of a sudden, you know, for over a decade worth of issues could be, you know, I think you just have to look at the history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wehi Cleek says all Eli needs to do is Tom Brady the football, 1 to 2 seconds at the most, then release.
1 to 2 seconds. Well, I
that's pretty quick.
I don't have an answer for that.
That's pretty quick.
I don't have an answer for that.
That's
one.
Pretty quick. Okay, let's see here. The Chosen One says, Howard, because you were such a great blocker, can you give us an O-line alignment you would like to see for Eli, including the tight end?
No, I can't. I would like to see the guys play well. You know, we've had some games where they've ran the ball well. See, I think that teams, offensive lines in general, build confidence when they run the ball. I think, you know, you run it once, you get maybe 1 yard, maybe lose a yard. You run it twice, you have to throw the ball. Then everybody in the stadium starts to boo. Next series, you start running it a little bit more. Then all of a sudden that rhythm starts to happen and they start moving guys around. When they start moving guys around, then almost anything can happen. You can throw for, you know, 300 or 400 yards. You can do a lot more. But if you're not moving guys around up front, then it's hard to pick a lineup or a formation. I'll tell you this. I think the Giants have one of the smallest offensive lines in NFL.
I think you might be right.
Yeah, and I think that
in terms of poundage.
Yeah, poundage. And I think that is just part of it. But you got to be able to move guys around in the running game. It brings guys in, brings the secondary down. You can go over the top. It does a lot of things. If you're not moving around the run game, you're kind of a one-dimensional team, and you're throwing the ball every time. So, you know, any tight end that could work, I think the rookie, he's a pretty good blocker from what I can see. And he runs well, too, when they get him out in the secondary. But how do you get that together? I don't know. I mean, there are guys standing on the sideline. I don't think that they're going to be moving guys around. But so I don't know how to do that.
Aya Wilwarese wants to know from us, is the next game a trap game? I think he's probably talking about the Rams, because I don't think Baltimore could be ever considered a trap game.
Oh, is it a trap game for the Ravens, you mean? Are we the trap for the Ravens?
Maybe that's what he means. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure.
Right now.
But I'll tell you what.
Both teams are desperate for a win.
Yeah.
Both teams are really, really desperate for a win. Both teams are going to be on the best behavior. If I'm the Ravens, I'm kind of excited because I think I could beat Flowers on the pass rush. So that's what I'm thinking. So it's like if Trevon Wade's in the game – I think I can go after Trevon Wade. You know, I'm looking for opportunities, and that's what I'd be talking about. But I don't know. Maybe the guys, like I said again, you're thinking the Giants are going to pass the ball every down, and all of a sudden Flowers comes plowing off the ball like a road grader and runs over you. He gets fired up, and all of a sudden it's a different mentality going through the game. So I can't predict what's going to happen or why, because I don't know why they call the plays they call.
All right, we'll go back to the calls after just letting you know the next online question is up. How many points will the Giants score against the Ravens?
Can we stop asking that question? Because we ask that question, we don't score a lot of points.
Well, this is the one that they've given me.
Okay, don't ask that
question.
It's
on the app.
Every Thursday when I come in, don't take that question off.
The answer right now, the answers available are less than 24 or more than 24.
That's a KOD question. Kiss of death.
I don't make up the questions.
I don't even believe in luck, and I don't like that.
The app on your phone is up and running, and you can make your vote on those two choices.
Wait a minute. Do they do this on another show during the week, or do they do it every week, every day?
I understand they do it on almost every show unless they forget.
Can they forget when I'm here? Forget on Thursdays. Forget on Thursdays. All right, we're going to forget on Thursdays. I'm tired of these dang surveys, man. I'm like, look at them. I'm like, okay, y'all just jinxed somebody, man.
Steve from West Point, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Paul. Hi, Howard. How are you guys doing?
Good. You agree with me, right? I'm tired of them trivia questions, man.
These poll questions,
yeah,
man.
I don't like that.
Howard believes in the jinx and the whammy.
That's the whammy, man. I'm like, that's like the free throw question. He's made 37 in a clank.
I'm in the jinx too. I'll tell you, I played football in high school, and I'm all about consistency. When you're doing something, you need to keep it. And if it's keeping on, this question keeps on making us go low. Score low points. We need to get rid of it.
There you go.
All right.
Let's a vote for that. What
there
I'm
you
here.
Go. Go ahead.
He's laughing, but I'm serious.
What do you got, Steve?
True, Howard. So I was just calling, you know, I was thinking about Eli and everything, and everyone's saying, oh, maybe he's injured, maybe he's not. And I'm just like, I definitely don't think he's injured, but I think he's in a slump for sure. And, you know, watching the game last week, I seen Eli very timid. He didn't remind me of the Eli when we were playing San Francisco in the playoffs. And he was getting pounded and pounded and pounded, but he was delivering strikes and just getting back. He was fearless in that game. There's something just seems different about Eli. I'm not sure if he's just trying to keep calm and keep focused for the guys around him, but he doesn't seem as aggressive as he once was.
Well, let me add this to the whole Eli conversation. I know that he looked fidgety during the whole game, and he did. He looked a little shaky. But late in the game, he started taking some hits, and he was getting the ball out, and they scored a touchdown. He was like, okay. I'm like, well, that guy, that's the guy I want to see the entire game. I'm sure he doesn't want to see that guy the entire game because he gets hit a lot. But that's the guy I want to see the entire game.
Bear with me a second, Steve, because I just want to float something by Howard. He and I were on the sideline, as we often are during the course of these games.
I don't stand near him because he's a little crazy.
No, he tries to stay away from me, but I always catch up to him. Eli's touchdown pass to Beckham, what a throw.
Yeah, it was a good throw, but like I said, the entire series was good because he took a big hit from the blind side in that series, held on to the ball, got up, got the guys back to the line, let's go, called the receivers down, ran the next play, very effective. That guy right there, that's the guy that we're used to seeing.
What I'm trying to say is, you know, we don't need that in the fourth quarter when you're trying to catch up.
We need that in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter.
You know, I don't like Tony Romo, but the guy, when he's in there, he's aggressive. He's always playing. You got Aaron Rodgers. He's not showing up in the fourth quarter. Aaron Rodgers is playing consistently. He had a tough game, too, because I think against our secondary, Aaron Rodgers should have really roasted our secondary the way he plays and the way our secondary was injured and banged up. So our secondary played phenomenal, lights out, if you ask me. But that's a rare game from Aaron Rodgers to throw two picks in Green Bay and barely have any passing yards.
Yep.
So it's for Eli, I feel like he needs a fire lit underneath him, like getting hit or we're behind, for him to get that aggressiveness out of him. And I just wish, you know, we're never going to get it out of him all the time because Eli is what he is, his 13th season. But, you know, I feel like sometimes we come out, the defense makes a great stop if we come out onto the field and there's just like no excitement that, okay, we got the ball back. All right, this is a good opportunity. Everyone just kind of lines
Steve,
up like it's normal.
I want to run something by you, though.
Just train out.
I want to run something by you, though. And you know, I know that in a lot of ways it's hard for everybody to figure out and understand it, but, you know, the way teams are playing with the shell and the two deep zone and everything else that's going on, I mean, everybody around here is admitting that that's taken away a lot of the deep balls that Eli used to throw, and used to throw very well, by the way. In fact, one of the best aspects about his game, Howard, was that he could throw that 40, 50-yard bomb very, very well. He does a great job at that, and other teams have, with their scheme, taken that away. Now, that in itself, it gives you a perception that some of his aggressiveness is gone because he's not throwing that ball anymore.
Well, all jokes aside, that's a different offense as well.
It is. That was more the Gilbride offense.
That was the Gilbride offense. Gilbride went down the field. That made fans more excited because there were deep throws.
Six or seven times a game.
Yeah, and then, you know, Eli took compounding for it. But he did. That's just part of the game. This game is a short passing, explosive game. Getting the ball quickly into the hands of your athletes and letting them make plays. My only thought is, and the only thing I can tell you is that I would have about 5 to 8 plays that no matter what formation you're in that are my go-to plays for Eli.
Right.
Eli's 5 favorite passes, so to speak.
Okay.
And I'd make that kind of the focus of the game and everything built out of that. But that would be me because you got, you know, Odell probably thinks he's open when he's in bed at night. He probably still thinks
Steve, we'll get back to you. I want Howard to finish, but thank you. Appreciate the phone call.
And I think that, you know, the slot guy, you know, with Ben Shepherd, thinks he's open all the time. And I think Victor Cruz is over there saying, hey, guys, I just want to take your dandruff. Whatever you don't get, just give me. So I think these three guys feel like they're open all the time. But within that process, I think Eli needs to have, was it 5, maybe 8 go-to pass plays specifically that he knows will work under any, and everybody knows what to do. I don't care what blitz you have. I don't care if you're playing over the top. I don't care what it is. He knows these 5 to 8 plays are going to work 85% of the time.
Did Sims have a handful of favorite throws?
Everybody had them. Everybody has them.
Because
Eli has them. I don't know what they are.
It seemed to me the seam route to Bavaro was one that Phil really liked.
But the reason why that was an effective play is because a lot of teams were moving into the cover two, and they were trying to bring the – or they were playing a cover three, and they brought the safety down. So if it was cover two, you're one-on-one the linebacker. We're open. If it's cover three, then you get out to the hash. You get out to the edge of the numbers. You're open. So there was really no, you know, really cover one or cover three. You were always seemingly open. When they moved to the cover four and putting 4 guys back,
right,
that seam pass kind of disappeared. But they only did that when guys threw the ball more. So now you have to have better cover guys on the edges. If you can cover the edges more, you can bring safeties down. The safeties become more effective in the run game. If you're running the ball well, and then all of a sudden that brings more guys in. When you bring more guys in, then the overtop starts to happen.
Joe Morris, Otis Anderson, Rodney Hampton. I mean, those guys could run.
That's 20 years ago.
Those guys could run, though.
That's 20 years ago. 3 yards of cloud of dust.
They're not running so good right now.
Yeah, none of them are.
No. Richie from Long Island, you're next on the show. I love those guys. You can't blame me.
You, that's nostalgia. I got
I know. I'm old school. Hello, Richie.
It's okay to be old school. Nothing wrong with old school. Just a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Coach McAdoo, just one thing that I constantly hear him say is it's just 1 of 16 game. It's another 1 of 16, you know, it's 1 of 16 game. I think they need to be at a point where, you know, he kind of needs to ditch that pitch, that little speech that he's having, because you need to see a little sense of urgency.
Richie, one thing before you go further, I don't know if he's telling that to his players or just telling that to the media, because the media peppers him with a lot of questions, and that may be a stock answer he has for them. He may not be telling his team that.
You know what I mean? It's a lot like it's a lot like Belichick not saying anything at all. And, you know,
His way of not saying anything.
And the reason why it's perceived as such a great thing is because they're winning. He's just not answering the question.
Yeah, it's
that's
it's
all.
I'm like, all right, I just hope it's not being told to the players. I mean,
no,
I maybe they're hearing
it's
it,
but definitely not.
Yeah, well, right now, you know, the way the division's going, you know, how the Eagles are looking, Dallas is looking, there needs to be a little bit more sense of urgency with that. But my second point was throughout, you know, Eli Manning has definitely improved. You know, we've seen that the past 2 years having career season, you know, stats, but he still constantly fumbles the ball. You know, I just feel that's not talked about a lot. I think it was the last time they played Monday Night Football, there was a stat that I saw that Eli has fumbled about this, like the highest number of times since 2006, along with Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler being them two of being the number two quarterbacks who fumble.
All right, hold on.
So I'll help you with that one. That means they're getting hit the most.
Yeah, definitely means, but at what point do you kind of, like, you know, do ball security more? You know, wouldn't you want to work on that?
Hold on, Richie. Those guys get paid to hit you and to strip the ball. That's the whole process. Quarterbacks who aren't getting hit aren't on the list of fumbles. The more you get hit, the more fumbles you have. The later in the game, if the game is not, you know, if they're not in the playoffs every year, which means they're usually playing from behind a lot. If they're playing from behind, it means you're at risk of fumbling because you're throwing the ball. Every time that you drop back, you know, you're at risk. Like, if you run the ball, you know, you can gain yards, you can lose yards. The fumble is like the last thing. If you throw the ball, you can get sacked. You can get a sack strip. You can throw an interception. The completion is really the only positive thing if you throw the ball.
Right.
And every time he drops back, you know, he's had some years when he had better offensive lines than others. And some in the last few years, he's been struggling a little bit in that category, but he's been effective. The problem is that if he gets hit, you know, you can't hold the ball to your chest the entire time and then expect to loosen up and throw it. You got to be ready to throw the ball with two hands on it, but a good play is a good play. His hands are not going to be strong enough to take a guy who's bench pressing 400 pounds, slapping at it instantly, not to drop it.
Richie,
if he does, he's got some really huge, funky-looking hands, but I don't think Eli has those.
To be fair, I'd love to see the percentage of Eli's fumbles that either came when he was absolutely plastered like a Mack truck, all right, and got totally slammed.
He doesn't get hit like that, thank God.
When he was pulling back to let the ball go, and the ball got knocked out of his hand while he's ready to try to cock it.
The fumbles that I've seen most of the time that I'm kind of talking about is you know, not the one he's getting slammed when people are hitting him, but the fact that when it's like he's throwing the ball. You know, a perfect example was the last year, the Eagles game. Remember when Walter Thurman kind of ran it back for a touchdown?
Yep.
Same thing. He got the ball knocked out right out of his hand, and it goes, I'd just rather him.
There are going to be some of those. That's true. There are going to be some of those. But I'll tell you what.
Von Miller's made a lot of money on those.
He has. He has. I would only say this. Remember when Kurt Warner was here and he had come off the thumb surgery? And one of the things that Tom Coughlin didn't like was his lack of ball security. And Tom had told us at the time that that was one of the reasons he made the change when he made the change, was because he thought that Kurt was giving up the ball a little bit too easily when he got hit in the pocket. Because there are some hits, and then there are some hits. A little different.
Exactly.
Thank you, Richie. Right,
thank you. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. He has wiped out, our producer has wiped out the poll question. In deference, oh, he's just brought it back, Howard. I thought he was going to wipe it out in deference to you, but now we have to read the results.
I'm not listening.
And
I'm going to play Candy
Crush. And we will tell you that
I'm playing Candy Crush right now on screen.
56% of you think the Giants will score more than 24 points
on level 4,
against the Ravens. And really, if they do not, Howard Cross is going to come after each and every one of you for voting that
Candy
way
Crush.
Because you will have jinxed the franchise.
Candy Crush. Candy Crush.
Big Ed in Maryland, you're on line 4. You're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, Big Boss. How you doing, Big Paulie? Big
What's
Paulie.
Going
Big
on?
Howard. Big Howard. Hey, what are you doing? How you doing?
Very good, man.
I came to bring good cheer. Good cheer.
There it is.
How you doing?
How are you, Eddie?
Hey, Paulie, I got a good question.
Yes, sir.
Question first before I get my theory here.
Please.
Have they had a team meeting yet? Since the beginning of the season, which just players only.
Every week, Steve Spagnuolo picks out one of the players to have a speech and to give a rallying cry, so to speak, to the team in a team meeting. There has been, let's see, Keenan Robinson's done it.
Okay, so I'll answer the question for you because Paulie's dancing around it. No, there's no team meeting.
There's okay.
No, whoa! I'm answering the question.
Definitely need a players-only meeting.
Big Ed, hold on a second. I got to figure out what he's talking about.
No. When he's saying a players-only meeting, that's when they ask the coach to step out, and the players go in. They get fired up at each other.
I misunderstood, Big Ed. I'm sorry.
Misunderstood. I said it before, but now I realize that I was like thinking about it, because you were saying a couple of things. I was listening to you guys before I got on.
Yeah, there's no players-only meeting.
Not that I know of.
I don't think that there is a I think there's more of a need for let's be airtight on everything and let's not make any mistakes, more so than a players-only meeting. And I think that – and here's the thing that I don't think the players themselves are considering. McAdoo's a new coach. He's under a lot of scrutiny. He got a big pass with the Odell Beckham thing. Because everybody in the country was talking about Odell. But now, as there's more scrutiny on him, there are more guys who are vulnerable to be moved, set down, exchanged for other players. That starts to happen more at this point because as a new coach, he's not loyal to anybody. Because, no offense, I got to get mine. I got to get my money. So that's what he's doing.
I think the last time they had one of those kinds of meetings that you're referring to, and I misunderstood, I apologize, might have been when Antoine Roe was here.
Yeah, but that's –
that might have been the last one.
We don't want to talk about those. That doesn't mean things are going bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then on the answer to that question, you said the last time they did something over 11 wins, that was like in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Basically, I almost want to say that Super Bowl run. When we played the Ravens.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
That's about the longest time. That's back then.
That's what I was saying
from the beginning of the season. This is supposed to be a 13-3 run right now. So I feel like this game, something good is going to happen.
Okay.
And I think it's just going to change everything.
I like that.
I think we're going to get on our go.
That'd be wonderful.
But it just has to happen.
Keep the positive coming, Big Ed. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, always that. Because, you know, everybody can throw negative on this game.
Yep.
You always get it. But until you play it and love it the way you played it, when you played it right, organized, man, there's nothing like it.
Big Ed, you're down in Maryland. You're down in Maryland. What kind of heat are the Ravens feeling right now?
They just got a new coordinator, so we should be taking advantage for real. We really need to go over the top. Seriously. We need to go straight over the top with Odell or Victor. I mean, but you got to do it in a sneaky sort of way. You can't. They're smart. They're not stupid. Harbaugh's a good coach. Y'all know that. He went to the Super Bowl. He won. So he's not a dumb coach. So you can't play him dumb. You got to play him smart. it really says to be dumb, then you just go right in.
Yep.
You may have to take to the four quarters for something to hit off, but that's what it would take. Do it.
Well,
the main thing, though, we need that running game to work. So give Rainey the ball. If he's healthy, give him the ball. He can do it. He did it in Tampa, so I know he can do it here. And then it gives us a major advantage because Suggs and Dumervil and them, they can't see that little guy. He can hide. So that's a big advantage. It's almost like having our own Darren Sproles. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But yeah, that's all.
All right.
Thanks, Big Ed.
Big Ed, thank you. Well, I'll tell you from a standpoint of outside looking in at Baltimore, I think Harbaugh is feeling a little heat, even though he's won two Super Bowls and everything. And I think that heat has got him to fire somebody that he, you know, he's done that before. You know, he starts feeling a little heat.
He has.
Pressure. He's like, okay, it's time for a change. And if you and I aren't getting along and I'm the boss, guess what? You got to go. And that's what he did. So hopefully.
He can't fire himself.
Hopefully that kicks off for him 2 weeks from now, that change really works. I don't want it to kick off any time in case I'm wrong with it being next week other Sunday. Give it 2 weeks before it starts to really work for him.
I'm going to ask you something, Howard. We have 3 minutes left on the program, and apparently our lines are open. But I'm going to ask Howard something because I was asked this the other day on a radio talk show. Somebody from out of town called me and asked me. They said, okay, what is the one thing, if you could fix just one of the Giants' problems this Sunday against the Ravens, if you could only fix one of them, which problem would it be? What would you say?
If I could fix one problem, which problem?
They've got a few issues, but if you could fix one.
Look, give me a second. I'm trying to think what would be the most effective thing to fix. I would say it would be running. I'd fix the running of the ball. I would definitely find a way to have a more effective 100-plus yard game running, not from just from a player. It could be two players, whatever. If you get up to 130 to 150 yards rushing, it changes the whole offense. And
it's a good answer.
And despite how a defense is playing on the other side, despite how the other offense is playing, if you're running for over 150 yards, 130 to 150 yards, then that means you have possession longer, which puts more pressure on the other offense.
Yep.
Puts more pressure on the other special teams. It gives your defense longer times to rest. I think if you could improve, I don't want to say fix, if you could improve one thing, I would get the Giants up to about 130 to 150, 175. If you get above 175, be honest, you get above 175, you've killed the other team. But if you get up around that 150 mark, that's holding on to the ball. That's balancing out your offense. That's getting a lot of good positive.
They're averaging
things.
83 yards a game on the ground right now.
Yeah, so that's like 60,
That's like doubling it almost.
Nah, just think about this. Like, okay, you average 180 yards. You're averaging 80 yards. Let's say you run it five more times. And then five more times, you get 15 yards. You're up around 100 yards. If you run it eight more times, you're getting close to that number. So that's
I like his math.
See what I'm saying? That's kind of – that's you're joking. You're laughing, but think about it. I'm thinking five to eight more times.
I understand.
You know, one of those is going to be a hit. A couple of them are going to be losses.
I'm thinking the Ravens can stuff you for minus one also just as easily.
Okay, so stuff me for minus one. I'll take a minus one and a plus 12.
I understand. Well, right? I'm going to give you my answer.
Okay.
I cheated. I said they've got to win the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I cheated. Because they need the better running game, which the offensive line has to do a better job of muscling the line of scrimmage. And quite frankly, I think the defensive line has to do a better job of putting hits on the QB.
So this is what I'm telling you.
I kind of cheated. I took two things by the line of scrimmage.
If you run the ball better and get to that close to that number I'm saying every game, the defensive line is going to play better.
I agree with you.
They're gonna be
That's true,
they're
too.
They're going to be fresh. And it's going to cause the other team to have to throw the ball more.
Don't you love how this all comes together? Because that goes back to what I said at the start of the show, the spider web and the domino effect.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that wonderful? We're so happy here today.
I just made him right. I want to change my answer. I'll see you guys next
week.
He's
Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. You've been watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Thanks for joining us. We're here every Monday to Friday from 12 o'clock noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Giants.com.
That's
see you next time.
Terrible.